Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
You know, we all have the stuff we're struggling with. We want to tap into your healing power right now and bring one issue that's pressing to the Holy Spirit and relinquish it into his hands. Trust him. Trust Jesus. He can carry it when we can't. So we give all our angst, anything that's going on right now, to you, Jesus. Free us up and you take care of it. There is nothing too complicated or difficult for the Lord to heal or deliver us in. We just need to say, yes, I believe. I believe in you. I believe you can take this thing. I believe that you've got my life. Show us. Holy Spirit, speak in your still small voice to each person here tonight. Reassure them that you love them. Let them sense your love. Thank you so much. And I pray that you would just guide us from here and continue to stay in and see where it goes. So that was a little exercise that we did. We're going to do one other exercise because I think that we all need to enter in, you know, and see what God's up to. Because he's up to something. We wouldn't be here if we weren't hungry, you know, on a Wednesday night. We're hungry. And the hungry get fed. The hungry get filled. And so reach up and grab that, you know, just soak it in. Enjoy it. So the title of my message tonight is called Mountaineering in the Spiritual Realm. Some personal keys to climbing in the spiritual realm. I am an athlete, and as I got older, I had to say goodbye to some sports, and I picked up mountain climbing in Colorado. So I started doing some climbing and found, I don't know, some of you might have a connection in nature where you see God's fingerprints. It could be anywhere. It could be in your backyard. But he does something for you, and you go, oh man, that's beautiful, God. Thank you for that. You just blessed my heart with that little hummingbird I saw this morning. You know? So it's that kind of thing. And for me, mountains are so majestic. If you climb one of those giant 14ers in Colorado, and you get to the top of one, and you look 360 degrees, as far as you can see, all there is mountains, clouds, and sky. And the presence of God is up there in those mountains. And Colorado people understand that. But it's anywhere. I mean, we got a beautiful place we live in here in southeastern Wisconsin. He's at work all the time. Flowers are at their peak, some of the irises and, you know, stuff that's going on out there. And we just need to show up, take some time, unplug to see what he's doing, to see how he's saying, I love you. Look at this. I made this for you this morning. This was yours. And God's such a personal God. So I wanted to just share, I was brought up Lutheran, and anybody here from the 60s and 70s? Okay, did anybody see the Jesus Revolution? Okay, that was kind of a product of that, more or less. You know, one way. And God saved me. I was going hell-bent in the wrong direction. He took me 180 and put me straight where I should be. And I'm not going to go into a long talk about my personal testimony, because I just say that to say, okay, so The ministry that I'm in now, I got involved in 20 years ago. It took me out of evangelical middle. I don't want to put anybody's stuff down or anything. This started making sense, especially when I reluctantly got the gift of tongues. I was totally, hey, that's great for you, but, you know, leave me out of this. And I had a guy that was the head of this, Edgar Bailey Ministries is what this used to be called. And he looked around in the crowd and he said, is there anybody here that doesn't speak in tongues? I proudly waved my hand. Yeah, what are you going to do about that? Was my attitude, you know. And so he said, you will before the night's over. Pointed right at me. Challenged me. You know, and I thought, oh, well, this should be an interesting evening. But the Lord got to me and wanted me to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wanted me to have that. And I fought it, you know, all night. You know, they were trying to get me to speak in tongues. I fought it all night. And eventually they said, well, you know, go home. You might not get it now, but, you know, and I left it at that because I couldn't do anything that I wasn't really believing in, you know, at the time. So I left it, and the next morning I was sleeping in bed, and I started to open my mouth, and all of a sudden languages came out of my mouth. And Mary walked by and said, you got it, didn't you? She saw that I had gotten that gift. And I'm so thankful for that gift. You know, I really, really, God's been taking me on a lot of journeys. I'm a risk taker, so the Lord confronted me fairly recently with the idea, well, John, you take all these risks in the physical realm. Why don't you try to take some spiritual risks? And I thought, hey, that's an idea. So I started taking some spiritual risks. And over the course of the 20 years in this vein, I've learned some things that I just want to share with you that have helped me on my journey. We're all on a journey, right? We're all taking this journey. We never arrive completely. There's always a next step, isn't there? There's always a next breakthrough. And he's got a calling on all our lives. And we need to step into that and find out what that is. Find out who we are. Back in the 60s, we used to be trying to find ourselves. Who am I? Where am I going? And what's it all about? The philosophical questions of life, right? So we were searching for that. And then God comes and he finds us. He finds us, you know. And then we go, whoa, now this is totally different than every path I've been down. So what I did this year is I'm trying to act like I'm, and two people prophesied over me that you're not going to, because 5 years ago I got in a car accident. I didn't think I'd be climbing at all ever again because those 14ers are demanding. But by the grace of God, I had people praying for me, and I got my legs back again to where I was able to climb a 14er last year and the year before. And to me, that was a miracle. God gave me a miracle to allow me that. So when we get into a situation like this and we're in and we a lot of you felt the presence and the peace of God, you know, there's a place called like, there's a place where we can get to heaven. You don't hear this in a lot of churches, but the people that run this ministry would get me jealous about stuff. And they would tell us that, yeah, well, we went to heaven. They didn't die and go there. They went there. And I thought, well, what about me? You guys can do that. I want to figure out how to do that. So I started pursuing that. And I don't know, I was a couple years into this ministry, and Holly was doing, I don't know if you know Holly, but Holly and Lori are leading this ministry. I'm just substitute teaching tonight. But Holly would sing, and she would play her organ and get us into that spiritual realm. And I was expecting that I wanted to go there. And there were so many opposing things that were happening that wouldn't allow me in. And I realized some of that was the enemy condemning me. You know, sometimes we're hard on ourselves and we haven't allowed ourselves, well, you can't go in. The enemy sits there at the gate, you know, when you're ready to move into a spiritual realm. Because there's spiritual realms we can get to. So I started going there and I started thinking, yeah, I want to get in. And that first time, it was like I was into the presence of God and I started moving towards going in, and I saw this white, beautiful light. And I was in it. I was out of this world and in that for a while. And then, you know, I didn't stay in it long, and then I came back and I told her, and, you know, I shared it with her. And she says, yeah, just go all the way in, you know. There's no reason for any of us not to have that experience, not to have a way that we can get to heaven before we die. If you want to get there, you can. And God, I believe, wants us all there. And a couple ways to get in, if you haven't thought about that or not, is in soaking in the Spirit, it's called, where you just turn on a good piece of music, soaking music, spiritual music or whatever, lay in your bed, and wait on the Lord, and then actually try to intimately connect with Him. You know, it says that we're to labor to rest. There's something about rest and getting yourself out of the busy life where God can sit there and speak to you. You can start hearing His voice. You can start going into the, what does it say, the secret place of the Most High? Psalm 91 talks about there's a secret place of the Most High that we can go to. And this world's gotten pretty weird. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's gotten pretty wacky. And I'm not real content with what I see and what I'm hearing. And I really need to go there. And do you know that He's got a 24/7 open door for any of us to go there? We don't have to stay and get bogged down by circumstances and the angst and anxiety and money issues, family issues, health issues. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I come to bring you life and bring it abundantly. He's not a respecter of persons. That's for every one of us that crossed the line and said yes to Jesus. When you said yes to Jesus, you became a new person. And the way it was broken down for me by one really important mentor of mine is, he says we're spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Our soulish person is mind, will, and emotions. Our body is our physical body. But the spirit, when Jesus came into your heart, that spirit, man, that you have inside you is holy and pure as the driven snow. And we have not yet tapped the beginnings of who that spirit man in all of us are. I mean, we can, and some of you have probably, I don't know all of you, but if you start learning and getting acquainted with who that is, that spirit man in you, you have authority. It's called the authority of the believer. A lot of people don't hear much of that in their regular churches. But we have authority. If we realize the authority we had, we could be doing all sorts of stuff to the enemy's territory. We could be bringing heaven to earth. We could speak to the mountain and tell it to leave. We could raise somebody from the dead. We could put our hands on somebody who's sick, and that person could get healed. Don't you think? I believe in healing, man. I believe in healing is for today. There's a lot of people that challenge that. But God's the same God today, yesterday, and forever. And healing is for today. And if you're hurting, you can start using your authority and actually speak to that mountain and expect that God's going to answer that. Okay? I don't have anything against doctors, but I think God's the best physician there is. Jehovah Rapha, our God heals. Our God is a healing God. And I don't believe he wants us afflicted, which some people like to think, to build our character. I don't think he gives you a disease to build your character so he can prove, you know, that you're worthy. What kind of father would that be? I mean, if you did that to your kid. I'm going to make you tough, so I'm going to break your arm. And see how, what kind of father would do that? God is a loving father. He wants to see us make it. He's on our side. We have to get to a point where we get our minds transformed to that. The mind is the battlefield that the enemy likes to use. So at some point, we have to have our minds renewed, okay, by his word. His word is powerful. You know, a lot of people say, I never hear the voice of God. Well, guess what? There's a whole lot of voice in the word of God. And a lot of people have kind of left that to the side, the wayside. But if you start reading his word, and you start regularly reading his word is truth. His word is 100% true. And everything else is kind of on sinking sand, right? But his truth is a rock. You can count on it. So as we begin to study his word and ask him for insight, there's a thing called Rhema and Logos. Rhema is where the word gets in and actually changes your very being. You start reading a word, and then all of a sudden that word goes, whoa, that's just for me. That blows my mind. That word is powerful. That's changed my life. And rather than memorizing, I think if you start asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you Rhema kinds of words, you won't have to memorize it because the Holy Spirit, it's so much part of you, it becomes part of who you are, that you'll be walking out in your acquaintance here or there, and all of a sudden you'll have a conversation. The Lord will talk to you and say, well, tell this person this. You know, speak the word to them. You know, and we can speak that word, and if we speak the word, it will not return void without accomplishing exactly what the Lord wanted to do. But if you don't have a repertoire of a history of reading the word and just, see, I think that should be a lifelong discipline. Reading the word should be lifelong, and then asking Smith Wigglesworth said it's a 1-2 punch. It's the Holy Spirit and the word. When you got the Holy Spirit operating and you have the word, sky's the limit, you know, of where you can go, of what you can do with that. And so, as I was thinking about, well, what's my next step? I started thinking, I got this gift of tongues, and I hardly ever used it. I wasn't using it very much. You know, it's like having a loaded gun in your closet, and you're not using what is possible. But when you get baptized in the Spirit, that's like a next step. If you've never had that experience, there's a thing called being baptized in the Holy Spirit. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you start, there's other gifts that the Holy Spirit has. There's 9 gifts that you could have, and one of them is speaking in tongues. So I started thinking, well, I should start operating in this. I should start using this gift. And so I got challenged that, man, I don't want to sit there, because I was, my goal this January was to try to climb a mountain, if you will, of having peace and joy in my heart. You know, Paul encourages us to walk in joy, you know, and peace. Peace, to me, is so important. And I notice that I'll get in a meeting like this, or I'll get into soaking in the Spirit, and I'll get that where that heavenly place is, and then I'll start walking around, and pretty soon the enemy's bombarding me with circumstance after circumstance, and all of a sudden I'm bummed. You know, I'm taken out, and he stole my joy. And I don't want that. I don't want to live the rest of my life that way. So I've made an advanced decision that I'm going after that mountain, that spiritual mountain, of steadfast and immovable peace. That's what I want. I want it to be whether there's a storm or whether everything's great. Circumstances should not dictate that peace. You should not be thrown off that by the enemy. The enemy snuck in there and somehow stole that from you. So you need to take spiritual inventory from time to time throughout the day and go, where did my peace go? God, this isn't from God. This isn't something that he's given me. So you trace it back, catch it at the door, and start resisting the enemy, praying against the enemy, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We have to stand on the word, on the promises of God's word, and resist. Because he's out there, he's happy to rip you apart. So we need to get in the armor of God, the belt of truth, shoes of peace, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and sword of the Spirit. And that's just not just a little cartoon. We can spiritually put that armor on every day and do battle. So part of that is having your mind renewed in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read some of the scriptures, because I asked the Holy Spirit, I did something new this year at the beginning of the year. I said, in the mornings is when I have my devotions. I have my soaking time. I have my reading the word time. And I asked, because I've been reading through the year before, I was reading through the New Testament, and then when I was done, I read through the New Testament and a new translation, then another translation, et cetera, et cetera. When I got to this year, I wanted to deal with this peace issue, this steadfast, immovable faith. So I asked the Holy Spirit, what should I read this morning? Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit questions, your own personal questions, and waited to get an answer? I found it very interesting. He'd say, Ephesians chapter 3. And then I'd read Ephesians chapter 3. Then he'd bring me to Psalm 27. Oh, okay. And I didn't argue with him. I didn't say, well, didn't you really mean Psalm 46? You know, no, I'm going to listen to what he's directing, because I think I got a thing going here, you know? And so I did. And he's given me a lot of what I call rhema words for today, for this day for me. And so I want to read a couple of these scriptures and tie them into where I'm going with this. What I'm doing right now is what Holly and Lori called stand and deliver. I'm nowhere near on my notes that I spent agonizing, worried time trying to figure out. Because if I go to those notes, then I'm in my flesh. I have to let this flow go, but I want to get to some of this stuff, because I'm hoping that some of this stuff might be keys that might help you if you're struggling with something. And I can't imagine who isn't today. But anyway, so let me read, Hebrews 10:14. So it says, for by that one offering he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. I want you to think about that in terms of spirit, soul, and body. Okay? For by that one offering of Jesus, he forever made perfect. That's your spirit man. That's now, not when you get to heaven. That's now. He forever made that part perfect. One-third Holy Ghost. We're one-third Holy Ghost. He forever made perfect those who are being made holy. That's your rest of you, you know. That's your mind, will, and emotions. Our mind, will, and emotions have to catch up, you know, to what the Spirit is, where the Spirit is, and what God's teaching us through the Spirit. We don't always have to be where we were in our teenage years when we were so wrecked and a mess. We can be transformed. We can be transformed by the renewing of our minds through Christ Jesus. And we can renew them through prayer, through worship, through His Word, you know. And the Holy Spirit, you know, is interesting. I don't know if most of you probably realize this, but we're all sitting here living with Jesus inside of us. The mind of Christ. When He gave that to you, when you ask Christ into your heart, we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that amazing? We have the Holy Spirit in us. We don't have to ask somewhere, oh, come through a portal in the sky. He actually lives in us when we made that decision. It's called revelation knowledge. We have our brain, and there's revelation knowledge that the Holy Spirit can give us. This is the location, I've heard, where the revelation knowledge is sitting. And we can pull it out. This is the mind of Christ. We can pull it from here into our understanding. So it's not, this was an interesting challenge for me, and I said I like to take spiritual risks. So when I heard this, I thought, now that's amazing. You mean that I can actually interpret my own tongue? You know, because a lot, you're sitting here and you're babbling and this, that, and the other. You don't know whether you're praying for a guy in Mongolia, or you don't know whether, you know, exactly what you're doing. But the principal main gift of speaking in tongues is to edify yourself, to connect you to the love of God. You can get right into that place where you can build your faith. You know, faith is such an elusive thing, don't you think? Well, what is faith and how do I get it? And I found out you can build your faith by praying in tongues. And I thought, well, why haven't I been doing more of this? Because I need more faith. I want I need my faith to be activated, I would say. That would probably be a better way to say it. So I started doing that now, and it's part of my discipline, my spiritual discipline, to try to get this goal of having steadfast and immovable peace. It shouldn't be beat up one way or the other while I'm riding out the storms of life. I don't think that's His plan. I don't think that's plan A for any of us. So until I arrive at a breakthrough in that, I'm not there. You know, I still struggle with stuff. But I'm not going to stay there in that struggle. I want to get to that place where people all sit there and go, why aren't you all bummed out like the rest of us? What is that? Why are you smiling? You know, what do you have that, what's your secret? And that's, you know, because we should be lights in this dark world. Don't you think? We should be radiating what's happening inside of us and bubbling up and listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to His instruction and saying, oh, I should talk to that person. It's so small and quiet, the voice. But if you start learning how to hear that voice, you don't have to spend your time in the flesh doing this or that because you think it's a good thing to do this or if I... you know, did this, you know, I get brownie points with God, this, that, or the other, whatever. But you start getting a dialogue and an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You know, sitting and listening to or praying in your prayer language. And I'm talking, you know, try it for an hour. You'll see how hard it is. You'll see that you have to labor. But when you get past that hour, you might go into another hour because you just made a breakthrough and you go, I'm in this place and things are happening. Things are happening in this place. I'm getting downloads. I'm getting revelation knowledge that I couldn't have gotten in my brain. You know, we have access to revelation knowledge. Christ is way smarter than any of us, but he's in us. So I was thinking, well, this is a key for me. I need to start praying in my prayer language regularly and not just hit and miss once in a while. And I think even a lot of Christians have done what I've done, just kind of put it on the shelf. Yeah, I got a prayer language, but what do you do with it? And I want to challenge you guys, if you have that prayer language, to go ahead and start operating in it. Give yourself a block of time. And the time can be, you know, when you're out hiking in the woods, driving your car around, you know, riding your bike, you know, doing. You sit there and you look at your phone and it goes, yeah, your average time here is 4 hours a day. You've been on the phone. The phone tracks your time, you know, and I'm thinking, 4 hours a day? What a tremendous waste. Couldn't I take an hour or two to get sharper in the Word of God or pray and pray in the Spirit now that I see that this is a vehicle for to take me into revelation knowledge? When I saw this, the way the guy put it that taught me this, is teaching me this, is you can actually think in your mind of what your issue is while you're praying in tongues. Try that sometime if you're not already doing that. But if you got, you know, something that's just nagging at you and bugging you, you know, you can go ahead and so like, you know, let's say, you know, my kid's going off the wall, you know, and it's bothering me, you know, and it's taking me out and it's making me just not, it's making me lose my joy. I can start taking that in my my mind and just be praying in tongues, but asking for interpretation. You can actually ask for interpretation. So this is another aspect of tongues that goes beyond edification and blessing, you know, and connection and peace. Because praying in tongues like that, if you're not at peace, then get back in there and try that until you break through and get some peace. There's no reason why we can't all be walking in peace. There's no reason why we have to be depressed. We're Christians. But we need to find the way to do that. And so I'm starting to realize, hey, this is a good way. This is a good way. I'm getting some revelation knowledge. A lot of people can get revelation knowledge about, and it doesn't only have to be about depression or this or that. You got a problem at work? You can pray in the Spirit with the understanding of that problem, put it in this mind, but this mind goes and taps into the Spirit man, and it's mystery, divine mystery that God's unfolding, and you have not because you ask not. If you want that, ask the Holy Spirit for it. You know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit is just a matter of a prayer, asking God to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. God, will you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? And he's been waiting for that. So, you know, I just want to encourage you, if you don't have that. And I wanted to also share some of the other gifts that happen when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can get words of knowledge. You can get a word of wisdom. You can get prophecy. There is such a thing as a gift of faith. You can get faith magnified, healing. You know, any of us could do any of these things. We don't have to have it be a major gift because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So if you got somebody laying there on the ground, you got the authority and power to raise that person from the dead. We all have that. We might not believe that, you know, but if we get to that point where we put belief into the authority we have, amazing things are going to start happening. So we need to take some risks, you know, with that. So collaboration with Christ. You know, he says, let's read this one. Mark 11, where are you? Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." That's truth. We can come to him and get yoked with him, and he can carry, you know, that big load, any load that you're taking. There doesn't have to be a load that you can't relinquish and give to him. And then wait, and then it becomes a trust issue. Is that true? Are all the promises in God true? Are all the promises yes and amen for me? I believe they are. So don't you think we should get familiar with enough with the Word of God to be able to know what those promises are for me and then start acting on them? That's you being equally yoked. He's not just spoon-feeding. He's not going to carry you the knight in shining armor without you co-laboring with him. He wants us to co-labor with him. He wants us to find what our calling is and start moving in it and bringing fruit, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And we can all do that. Take some fortitude, it takes some discipline though, you know, where we're taking our part of the yoke and saying, okay, well, I'm gonna start doing this. I'm gonna start praying in tongues until I get a breakthrough. I'm gonna start reading the word more. I wanna get more rhema word that I'm acting upon, that's powerful, and watch what happens in my life. You know, let's see. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain," and this is that big challenging verse, isn't it? "You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you receive it, it will be yours." Anything. Now that's a pretty bold, you know, challenge to put out there for us. So it challenges my belief, you know, because why is this not happening? You know, I've been praying about it. What do I need to do to make this happen? So what I'd like to do, so that it's just not me sitting here talking to you, I'd like to do a little, I like to do these little exercises, because these this is a safe place for all of us to grow and try some things. So if you have your prayer language, I'd like to do this little exercise with you guys. And it's, I want you to think about a circumstance in your life or an issue that you're currently not on top of, whether it be health, finances, you know, whatever it is, where the spirit, where the enemy, where the devil's tried to take you out and steal your joy. Now, if you've got that, what I like to try, just for the fun of it and just because I'm a risky kind of person, I'd like to try to have you think about that now. Remember I said you think about what it is when you're praying in your prayer language. And then you pray. Okay, so we're going to take a little time out right now to do that if you have your prayer language. If you don't and you're interested in what that might be, I'd like to say to you that I'll be up here after the announcements and the offering, and you can come and see me, and I'll help pray the baptism of the Holy Spirit over you, and you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not anything complicated. If you are not If you have never made the decision for Jesus to come into your heart and forgive your sins, I want to offer that to you as well after the service. I would love to pray with you and share with you how you can do that. But this experiment, you know, I like to do for a little bit. I'd like to just have us all that have a prayer language try to let our understanding stay focused while we're speaking our prayer language. And let it be that thing that is really at you, you know, that you really like to get over. And we'll just let it go for a while. You don't have to do, I'm not forcing you to do this. I'm just saying, why not give it a try? There's a whole lot of power that happens in the spiritual realm. Even in this room, every one of us have an angel, you know. We all have a guardian angel. There's probably angels in here now, too, that can help us. So we say, angels, help us, too, besides, you know, the Holy Spirit, besides Jesus who is inside you. So let's go and open this up for a while, and we'll kind of know when to stop. But get that thing in there, and then stay focused in this mind as the Spirit brings revelation knowledge through your prayer language. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end, he tells us. It's another promise. You can be assured that what he started in you, he's not going to stop working on you all the way to the end. Okay? So we need to start transforming our minds with verses like that. When the enemy, nails us and pulls us out of our happy spot. We can have a happy place by doing the exercise we just did for a little longer than that, perhaps, you know, and start trying it, experiment with it, and just see what happens. See where that goes for you. I hope and pray for your peace, for your joy to be there. Rejoice in the Lord always, you know. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. Okay. Let's see. Then the way, this is Colossians 1:10, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and you will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. It's a way to learn to know God. You know, I don't want to get to heaven and have Jesus say, hey, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want to hear that. I'm sure none of you want to hear that. We need to get to know him. And this is a great way to get to know our God, is through the prayer language that you've got, or the Holy Spirit that you've got. And get acquainted with him. Get acquainted with Jesus. Jesus should be the pearl of great price, where we sacrifice all of it. This whole world has nothing in comparison to what Jesus can give us. You know, there, you go into those spiritual realms and soak in those spiritual realms, there's stuff there that you couldn't see on this earth. And you're going, I don't want to come back. I want to stay in this place, you know, in this holy place. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So we cannot listen to the enemy when he starts condemning us. There's no condemnation to those who believe. God will forgive and forget your sins. He's not going to throw them up on a movie theater screen when you get to heaven. He's decided to forget them. He tells us that in his word. I forgive your sins, and I'm not bringing them up anymore. So we have to figure out, how do we do that for ourselves? How can we forgive our sins that we've done? Some of them, you know, we're going to have to ask for help. We're going to have to trust that when God sent Jesus to the cross, it was for the sins of the whole world. Everyone. He wills that no man should perish. It's not his will that there should ever be a human being that goes to hell. But a lot has to do with what gets in the way on our journey through life, as to false belief systems, you know, getting out of the rock-solid place where when the winds blow and the rains come and they beat upon your house, it won't fall because it's founded on the rock of Jesus Christ. We're founded on the rock of Jesus Christ. We're standing on the rock. So yeah, he never promised that it was going to be easy. In this world, you will have trials and troubles, but I have, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And we need to get in on the same page and stand our ground, stand steadfast, and not let the enemy steal, kill, or our joy. So I just pray that all of you will find that on your journey, that steadfast peace and joy that he's given to everyone. It's, you know, and find those glorious places that we can go. You know, salvation is not just fire insurance. There's so much more to this life that he has for us, and we need to start exploring that. We need to find out who we are in the spirit man and find out who God really is, because sometimes our God is too small. We make our God too small, and we actually aren't even knowing who we are. And that's where Brennan Manning pointed out, how can you expect your prayers to be answered when you've made up a God and you don't even know who you are, and then you're asking prayers from that point? So I encourage you, you know, find out who you are in your new nature, on your journey. I pray that you all do, and I pray that you all, you know, have this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and Father God, because it's from that relationship that everything operates out of. So God bless you. God bless you all.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from Spirit of God Worldwide.com.